And yeah, if you just want to come out to see firsthand what ballroom mm-hmm. is like, you will be able to get examples. Yeah. And if you've been practicing in your bedroom and you mm-hmm. know some things, like come out and also try. I know that there are also a couple more events that some of our collective members will be hosting. Mm-hmm. There will be an In Motion Drag In Motion show. Mm-hmm. I got to find that information, but we will post all of this stuff on our Instagram. Sasha also has some gigs during Pride.
Yep. The A-Loft 3rd Annual Pool Party with Splash. Some queens. Yes. And then also Freaky Gal, the Samambo Freaky Gal edition. So it's going to be specifically highlighting Caribbean Black queer culture. And we've got a lot, actually, in the cities, too. I was also going to say, like, as far as how people can support, of course, Vogue Down, our Vogue Nights are... Vogue Down's Vogue Nights are open to all, but I also would like to say, especially being Juneteenth, everyone's welcome, but Black queer people are prioritized, and everyone has a responsibility to the space to not only keep each other safe, but also participate, which is like clapping, cheering, you know, things like that. So we're not like aiding in this like, what's the word, spectator culture of just like watching Black people do their thing and not, you know, also pouring into them. So yes, pay for your ticket, come, be ready to dance, be ready to shout, and it's gonna be a good time. Like it's been a while, the girls are hungry.
And I'm actually really hungry. Me too. Since it is 8 o'clock, we have to let you go. Again, thank you so much for being here with us every single Sunday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. This has been I Love You Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. I have been your host, Musana's Musings. These have been your amazing guests, Yoni Light and Sasha Bangs. And we will see you next week for an episode focused on Juneteenth. We will end our episodes as we try. We'll end our broadcasts as we try to do each week with the song Mad Love by Infinity Song.
Come on.
Thank you all again. Have a beautiful, beautiful evening.
Thank you.
For your brother, you've been with me from the start. I've got mad love for your sister. You got a piece of my heart. Even though I know I don't say it's enough, I want you to know what I feel in my heart. I don't want you to think that I take it for granted. You mean so much to me, please understand it. Cause I got mad love for you. 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 Cause I got mad love for you.
I've got mad love for you, mama. Brought me into this world. I've got my love for your father. You taught me to persevere. Even though I know I don't say it enough, I want you to know what I feel in my heart. That I take you for granted. You mean so much to me, please understand it.
Cause I got mad love for you.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and around the world at kfai.org. The community's true voice.
Hello, Minneapolis. You're live with Modern Hmong Girl on KFAI, where culture, community, and girl talk come together. Let's get into it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Modern Hmong Girl.
It's a girl, Emmy.
And it's a girl, Lex.
It is episode 61. And if you're watching, we're in the same outfit. We're pre-recording.
Yeah.
But if you're not watching, well, just welcome. And yeah, if you're new here, thank you so much for tuning in. If you're a returning listener, welcome back as always.
So let's just jump into this episode. I mean, y'all see the title.
Why Hmong people need to touch some grass?
Oh, ew, like.
And to start that off, I actually have something I want to read that I saw on Facebook yesterday on the page Hmong Talk submitted by somebody, okay? This said, from anonymous person, should each Hmong clan leader decide if interracial marriage should be banned? For example, if the great Hmong clan leaders vote to ban interracial marriage, then no Hmongs can marry other race or ethnicity. Same with other Hmong last names too. Let it be a clan issue if they want it or not. However, we will allow gay and lesbians to Hmongs to marry out of race because those ones cannot breed and produce offspring. That is one exception we will allow.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay, I did see the post, but I didn't read it.
That's why you need to touch a lot of grass. And before we even say anything too, what gets to me is that you use the word breed and produce offspring. Is that all you see with people, human race or us women, for breeding and for offsprings? God damn. Well, you don't need touch the grass. You need touch God.
For God.
No, like, I read this. It baffled me. I shared it and said, what the f-?
You know, if that's all what you see people as, then we just see you as an idiot. You are an idiot. You are a moron. You are not, you are an animal with no conscience or any. No, I don't even want to disrespect animals. Like, you are just a blank.
Yeah.
No, I'm dead with this post, actually. I did see it, but I didn't read it because it just looked like nonsense to me.
Bro, someone in the comments said, short answer, no. Long answer, no.
Period.
No, but sometimes, yeah, a lot of guys.
Was it posted anonymously?
Yeah, it was anonymously.
See.
A lot of guys, I'm happy that y'all disagreed with this because what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's crazy. I think this person probably maybe just posted to
be funny.
To be funny, but like still, that went through your head.
Like, yeah, no, I think like it could be funny to a degree, but I think like if this was actually taken seriously, something is chronically wrong with this person.
Yeah.
And I guess like it isn't really funny too, because, you know, like I guess it could be taken two ways, right? Mm-hmm. Like one is just this isn't funny at all because this shouldn't even be up for debate.
Yeah.
It shouldn't even be structured in your head.
What laws are you trying to make? You're trying to go back to the old days, like,
yeah,
before humans existed or something. I don't know. This is the bane of my existence. I would never exist if this is a Hmong law. I don't consider myself Hmong. Like, I am not Hmong.
The producing and breeding part is wild, yeah, to like, me.
Breeding.
We don't consider the gays and lesbians. Fuck.
Yeah.
No, that this is so crazy.
But yeah,
to me
right that there. I want to start off with that because that shows exactly why Hmong people need to touch the grass. Those Hmong pages on Facebook.
I just can't with this post right now. Oh my God. I'm so glad I didn't read it. And then like you reading it out loud right now. Oh my God. Yeah. I just really think that these Hmong pages are the number one start to why these people need to touch grass because they just post nonsense in there. And the nonsense that they post is very controversial. And they do that on purpose because that's their niche. And they just basically want to rage bait people. Basically, you know, like when we did the episode about dating Hmong men versus not, we were posting rage baiting videos, right? Like just clips of our episode. Because obviously it's a marketing tactic, but literally we had a comment saying, oh, this page is just all about rage bait. I'm like, huh? Like you watch one or two of our videos and you think it's just all rage bait. But if you really want to know what rage bait is, it is Hmong tea. It is the, what else Hmong pages going on?
I don't know. I don't go on Hmong, those Hmong pages. I'm not in those Hmong pages. I just see them on my timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. They're so good at rage baiting people.
Right.
Yeah. But the sad thing is, a lot of the stuff on Hmong tea, people be very into it.
Oh, yeah. More,
a lot of males I see really be interacting in those Hmong tea posts.
Yeah.
Or are the main posters of the Hmong tea posts. Yeah.
There's a lot of patriarchal energy in these pages.
Yeah. Like, really, Hmong people be gossiping like that's not tomorrow.
Exactly. Yep.
Like it's not even our the thighs that be gossiping anymore. It's these damn males on Facebook that be gossiping among tea. Like hardcore.
Yes. Yeah. I think that the reason why they also talk a lot of shit too is because they got nothing going on for them. Like, that's why they're so deeply rooted in the patriarchal culture.
They're so deeply invested.
Yeah, because that's the only way they're relevant. That is the only way you're relevant, is if you keep on adding on to the patriarchal system that has already been rooted in our culture, and that just makes you feel strong and needed and relevant again. And you're like, yeah. Oh, I'm a man. And it's just like, no. You're just typing.
You're behind just typing. A fake account.
For real. Like, why don't you go to the gym? That way, I guess, you can actually go raw instead of like behind the damn computer screen or phone screen. Yeah, but honestly, like, I think that there are many out of touch people in our community. And again, not all, okay, but many. And I think that the reason why is it may be too much for them to intake, right? Because again, like going to cultural assimilation, it might be too fast for them to actually obtain all the information. And so they're just like, oh my God, like this is just too much for me. Like this isn't how I was built. I need to go back to my roots, like my deep roots, and just be that, because that is how I am relevant. And I do see a lot of our like Hmong boys doing that, Hmong guys, because as like we grow up and they see that in my family household, we are important, but how come when we go outside, we're not important? Like, that's just weird to me. And then that's why when they grow up and they're like, oh, you know, like I don't feel powerful outside, but I feel powerful in my house. So I'm going to continue the traditions and the culture that has been ingrained in me in my house and take that on with me. And so that's how like the generational like, What is that called again? Like generational trauma, I guess. Generational trauma starts to just like unconsciously intertwines with our Hmong boys. And it's like, oh, I didn't even know I was toxic, but because like I feel like I'm relevant like this, I'm going to continue being like this, you know? But I'm just not saying for all Hmong boys. I see it in some of our Hmong boys being like that, where they're just too comfortable in their house and they don't want to leave because they are important in their house. Their family members listen to them because they are a boy. So why don't they want to continue that? Like that's a pro for them. Whereas for our Hmong girls, like they would want to leave the house because they have no power there. They have no say. And so that's why But yeah, this is goes back to like why they need to get out of the house, go touch some grass, go talk to different people. When you talk to new people, you gain a different perspective and mindset. And you're like, oh, your family does this, or you do this way. Oh, this is how my family does it. Like, and then when they say something like, oh, what? That's so different. And then that's when you start like building yourself, character development. That is what we want from these people, from you. Mm-hmm. If you continuously, if you're just chronically online all the time, like, okay, there's like a good chronically online and a bad chronically online. Like good chronic online is like if you just have like TikTok rot, right? Like if you're just like, like
doom scrolling,
right? Exactly. But like if you are just someone that is a hater, I don't know why. Like, but
why are you 50 and hating? Like, move on, take care of your kids, please. That's all I have to say.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
Yeah. Go do something instead of hating.
Yeah. And also, okay, this is kind of off topic, but like going back from that very crazy Jackson fan too.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that just reminded me of that where she is really crazy.
Oh, my God. There's something worse that just happened too.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot of shit going on right now with Jackson.
See, y'all, this is what I'm telling you. Like, you guys are so, like, invested in someone that you've never met. And you start building this fake narrative on you where, like, you don't even want to leave your house. Like, you just want to be in it all the time. And then when you do go out, you feel endangered. And you're like, oh, like, I feel threatened. I need to go back to my little cocoon and back to my fake narrative. And it's just like, you can't even tell what's real from fake anymore. That's why I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, please.
That brings me to AI again. I know I talked about AI already, but people can't differentiate the freaking difference with AI and not AI anymore. Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy.
Right.
Yeah, that's all.
That is really crazy. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh. That's been like, you need a touch of grass too.
Yeah, but going back to like the pages that we have on Facebook for all our Hmong stuff, why are all the pages mainly so negative, you know?
Yeah.
Even when some of the posts are actually like asking for our genuine advice, dang, everyone's so negative in the comments. Or, let's see. There's now a, did you guys know there's a page that literally always tracks like who has a DWI?
Oh yeah.
And they are up to like track with it. It would be like the day before they just got DWI. Do you go on that page every day, refresh it and find among people that got DWIs put it up? Like who did what to you? Why are you so like.
Yeah, no.
Invested in trying to find all those people, you know?
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I actually appreciate that page because it's like, oh, interesting. Like kind of like, oh, now you know how to, or you know who to steer clear of. Okay. Like if they got a DUI, if they got sexual assault on them, if they got domestic violence on them, like, you know, to steer clear away from those people.
Yeah. I feel like if it's like that, then yeah. But like the DUI ones where they find one every morning. It is every morning. Okay, I see submissions all the time. Like, you got a lot of time. You're really invested. Like,
okay, yeah.
Damn, you know?
Yeah, I would say, like, you know, if that is, like, your full-time job, then you're doing great, sweetie. But but if you, you know, well, I guess, you know, some people's passion is like that, too. If that's their passion, then, ooh.
Okay, you're working FBI. Hard.
For real.
Just kidding.
Yeah, but no, that is crazy, though, like waking up to a new DUI, DWI every day. It's like, damn, what y'all want people?
And sometimes I see people I know, I'm like, oop. Like, my uncle was on there. I was like, I wouldn't have known if I didn't see it, though.
For real?
Just kidding.
Oh, literally.
But yeah. No, yeah. I wish there were more home pages that were very supportive and like-minded, and we all, you know, yeah, just support each other and what we do. But a lot of things I see, there's not that much support, and They're always so negative.
Yeah. I will say that I found this Hmong page. I forgot what it is called, but I did put it on our meeting document. Let me go and get that. But I was introduced to this Facebook page by, you know her. We met her at the pageant, and she was the lady, and she was the loudest one there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, funny story, I saw her again at a networking event. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she introduced me to that page. Let me see. It is called... Oh my gosh, I didn't even link the page on our
I don't see anything on there.
Darn it. But I forgot what it's called. But I did get into that page, but I can't find that page for some reason, though. But basically, that page is for Hmong women and for their stories. And it's actually a very, very great page where women can go on it and submit their stories anonymously and ask genuine questions for advice. And I really love that. It reminded me of Our Dear Nobody. And a lot of women, there are like hundreds and thousands of posts on there where they share very similar stories and experiences, and they ask questions that we all would want to know.
I'm not surprised that us from women have it.
Right.
Like, but yeah. I want one as a collective for all of our people together, for our young boys, for our young girls, for our, you know, our people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, yeah. You know, but if you do find that page, if we find that page, we'll share it. So
yes,
if you want to join a community like that, then you can join.
Yeah. But like with these Facebook Hmong pages, they are mostly toxic. And I think that, you know, it is up to us as a collective to come together and add some positivity in there. Like, we get it. We love drama. We love tea. Like, people are naturally gonna like want to know people's business.
Go where the tea's at.
Exactly. Because they're like, ooh, what's happening? Like, oh my God.
Tea time.
Right. But it's like, there's tea and gossip. And then there's like the very negative part where it's like, oh yeah, girls shouldn't do this or boys shouldn't do this. And you got to do that. And that.
You need to breed yourself.
Yeah. Right. And so those parts, they got to be diminished. They got to get washed away. And I think that our generation is definitely doing better. Mm-hmm. Of course, there will always be people that...
There will always be a bad apple.
Right. A rotten apple.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very true. And we can't stop those people.
No, we can't. They'll just rot and fall down and disappear. It's okay.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I love that.
All in all, I just want people to remember that, you know, the world is changing. It's not only Hmong people that's living in this earth. It's not only a religion or culture that exists, you know. There's a lot of people that exist outside of Hmong people, y'all. And there's things changing every single day. So like we say, please try to take change upon yourself and change the things that we know are bad for us as individuals, as a collective, as a group, as a culture. Yeah, take initiative and make that change. Unless you don't want to, then you can stay here while we all change for the better.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just thinking back to that post. Bro. I'm just so dead about that. Yeah, but that's pretty much it for
this episode.
The Hmong pages and stuff like that.
Oh, wait, I said this episode.
Okay, let's move on to our Dear Nobody segment. So, it is Shuo Yi that submitted this.
Mm-hmm.
I married a man who still has his bad habits. I did this to myself, but with a baby on the way. I don't want them to experience divorced parents like me. Before we married, he was cheating on me with another woman. He said she's a nobody and for his friends, but I knew that was a lie. Whenever we called, he would be smiling and texting. Or is whenever it whenever
they called? Maybe whenever they called?
Yeah, whenever they called, he would be smiling and texting. I can hear it and see it. He was not smiling at me. I pretended to not acknowledge anything and give him the benefit of the doubt. I was picking up shifts, working extra hours, and working back to back to save money for us. I worked hard to save money when I came to see him. I knew he was texting her every night we called. We would always rush me, or he would always rush me to bed while texting.
I knew something wasn't right, and he did this to me for 6 months straight while we were dating. It got to the point where I asked who he was texting on call, and he said he's just talking with his friends about the her and the her. About the girl and her friends. Sorry.
No, it does say that.
The thing is, he talked about not liking her because she is a gold digger, and so I didn't think or say much about it. I just kept working myself to death all those months because I didn't know what to do or how to feel. I was overthinking and felt real insecure. He was being transparent with me, but also lied to me real good. Now that we are married, I saw his old messages with her and everything I felt. At that overthink, all that overthinking was true. He texted her all night until he went to work.
He even told her... Oh, sorry. He even told her about me. He told her that he plans on marrying me, to propose to me. She has a boyfriend and he has me. Yet they both texted each other all night until morning. He even texted missing her and how he missed messing with her. That broke my heart. I felt the whole world become dark while holding my baby bump. It made me wonder so hard continuing on to this day. How can you tell someone you plan on marrying someone one day and you say you miss the other person instead of your own significant other? He never says he loves or misses me. It was always me saying that to him. I still cry about it till this day.
I truly believed he doesn't love me after seeing that. He's very protective of his phone, and I have a feeling he's texting another woman again. How can he tell other he's excited for a baby and text other women behind my back? Then again, I did this to myself. I married someone who doesn't love me, and I take the disrespect because whenever I catch him, he plays the victim and makes everything my fault. He gets all defensive when I confront him. I should have left when I had the chance, but because I loved him so much, I made myself miserable for someone who doesn't even care about me or my feelings. He doesn't love me, and it shows. I'm just lying to myself, so I'm not sad while having a baby. I don't want a baby to be sad because of me.
I don't know.
That stresses me out a lot.
For real.
Miss girl. You already know he's not shit. He wasn't shit. He's still not. Do you think he's going to be after you have your baby? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I know we're saying it because like this and we're not in your shoes. Mm. But girl, stop putting yourself through this. You're literally, you say you don't want your baby to be sad, but your baby feels everything you feel.
That's true.
What you felt when you saw him, that he texted that old girl, or that he's texting new girls, mm-hmm. or that he's just doing unfaithful things and not loving you. Your baby feels all of that, you know? Even if you think that, they don't. And I don't have a baby. I've never had a baby, but that's just what I truly think, you know?
It's scientific.
Yeah, yep. For you to think that your baby, you don't want your baby to feel sad because you're lying to yourself so you won't feel sad. They feel every other emotion that you're feeling. And I really, really, really hope you put yourself first. You say you don't want your baby to grow up with divorced parents, but do you want your baby to grow up seeing how unhappy you are? Mm-hmm. Eventually, with how everything is going right now, it will, I say, might lead to the divorce or lead to you being so unhappy that something may happen, something not good may happen, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're already seeing the signs, please, please take the signs as it is, like as he's showing it to you. He's showing to you straight out that he's a bad person. He's bad for you, bad for your baby, bad for your marriage, bad for everything. Take it as it is and leave, you know? Mm-hmm. And I know what anyone says cannot convince you and whatnot, but I truly, truly hope that you put yourself first. I know it's hard. It's hard, especially when you have a baby on the way and you really imagine your life with this person already, but can you really imagine your life with a person that doesn't love you?
Right. You know? Exactly. Yeah. Emmy said it beautifully. I honestly, when I hear about these stories, it just makes me like, I don't want to say like, you already know what to do, but you do.
You do know what to do.
To be honest. And we are grateful that you shared this story to us. And I know that, you know, maybe you may be looking for guidance, but I'm going to say that you are your best guide.
You listen to your gut.
Yeah. Like, I understand you love him. You want a family. But
do you want a broken family?
Yeah. That, you know? That ain't family right there. Yeah. And not only that, that girl that he's cheating on with, she is a hoe because she got her own man too.
Yeah.
And she's still doing that.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to say, like, if you want this to continuously be a love triangle with your baby on board, that's the life that you're choosing. And yeah, that's the life you're choosing for your baby. Mm-hmm. Like, your baby will be built upon these kind of...
You have full autonomy to choose right now, you know? Right. And you either choose to be with this person that cheats on you continuously and makes you unhappy, makes you sad, makes you broken, or you choose yourself and be happy.
Yes.
And not be fake happy.
Right. And I just want to emphasize so much is that you really build the system for your child. Mm-hmm. Like, your child, kids are not dumb. You have them. They remember everything and they tell the truth.
Yes.
And how they are raised and how they grow up is literally their infrastructure, is literally their foundation. And so I know, like, you know, when they do become adults, they have full autonomy on, like, you know, helping themselves and being better and whatnot. But it is hard, though.
As kids, we don't understand, you know. We grew up seeing, oh, our dad cheats on our mom and our dad hits our mom. Oh, that's normal.
Right.
Because mom is still here.
Exactly.
You know, you don't want your kid to see that, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's so important, even though like I said, you don't want your kid to grow up with divorced parents, but you don't want your kid to grow up with a sad mom, a broken mom, because that affects kids way more than we think.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
But yeah, now that, like, I'm an adult and I see my parents for who they are, it makes me sometimes, like, it challenges me to kind of, like, depict who they really are, you know, because, yeah, just being a product of what has gone on in their life. And
I think it'd be so nice to, like, know, like, who our parents are outside of being our parents.
Yeah.
Who they are as individuals before they became parents. But for, I mean, us, I think it's very hard because our parents had us very young.
Yeah.
They never truly knew who they were, because my mom got married at 14 or 15, you know. Mm-hmm. That's very young. They never got to experience who they were outside of having kids.
Right.
All they knew was kids growing up and surviving, right? So I think it's very important as parents to be able to show your kids a healthy individual as a parent, and as just yourself and as a parent for them, you know, because that's what they need to be able to grow up okay. Mm-hmm. They need someone to leave an example that, like, a good example, not a bad example that we put out to them because we chose to do it that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just want to go back to the play that I watched, Hmong Futures. It really signified how like, generational trauma is so real, and it's definitely something so prevalent in our culture and in every generation, because when the mom, she was arguing with her daughter in that play, the daughter was like, oh, you're just like grandma, you know, in that way. And then the mom was like, no, I'm not. I'm nothing like her. I will never be like her. And then there was another scene where another person was telling her that, oh, you're a lot like your mom. And she was like, oh, hell no, I'm not. Like, I'll never be like my mom. And it was taken as a disrespect, you know, and that is sad. And I think that that's something that you don't want to pass on to your children. That, to me, like, if I was a mother and if I heard my child say, I don't want to be like my mom, like, I'm not like her, don't tell me that. That is very sad, you know. And so take it upon yourself to, you know, whatever you decide to do for your child, that is definitely going to shape on who they are. And it's not that we're just considering your child. We're also considering you too. Definitely take the time that you need to go through your situation. It's very heavy, you know, what you're going through. And so it's understandable. But at the end of the day, you are your own leader. You're your own decision maker, so you're going to have to call the shots for this. And your husband, he does not have the power to do that.
No, he doesn't. To-o-shin-day, okay?
Yeah, bye on that.
Yeah, no o-shin-day here.
Right. And please know you have your support system. Go to your family, go to your friends. They have you. Okay, you have them. Yeah, that's basically all what I have to say about this.
Yeah, I hope you have the strength one day to do everything for you and choose yourself.
Right.
Yeah, and your baby. But you come first, because if you're not good, your baby won't be good. So put yourself first.
You're live with Modern Mong Girl on KFAI.
We'll be taking a short break and be right back.
Support for KFAI comes from the Landmark Center, presenting Music on the Cortile, free live musical performances taking place over five Thursday lunch hours from June 26th through August 20th. Thursday, June 26th, Obi Original takes the stage. Nigerian-American Afrobeats and Afrofusion artist Obi Original brings his blend of Igbo highlife, hip-hop, R&B, and jazz to the Landmark stage. The noon to 1 p.m. concert is free and open to the public. You're invited to bring your lunch and enjoy the show. More information about Obi Original live at the Musser Cortile is available at landmarkcenter.org.
Support for KFAI comes from First Avenue, presenting The Marlows at the 7th Street Entry, Friday, June 19th. Indonesian soul trio The Marlows take the 7th Street Entry stage with their latest release, The Hotel Malibu. The Marlows may sound like retro soul, but don't be fooled. They're only borrowing the tools of the past in order to craft a sound for the here and now. More information about The Marlows at the 7th Street Entry is available at first-avenue.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Modern Mong Girl
on KFAI 90.3 FM. It's a girl, Emmy.
And it's a girl, Lex.
This is episode 63.
Period.
My rebrand era keeps getting delayed.
Like, why? Oh my gosh. But before we get into it, if you're new here, welcome. We are Modern Mong Girl. And if you are a returning listener, welcome back.
Okay. All right. Let's get started.
Mm-hmm. So my rebrand era keeps getting delayed. I feel like that happens to us all, where it's like we're set in stone with like what we want to do, like our aesthetic, our fashion, how we want to be viewed as and approached. And it's just like, how come it's just not happening? And I think it's just not like being viewed by other people, but being viewed by yourself, most importantly. Because like sometimes I'd be looking in the mirror and I'm like, wait, why do I not look like I actually, like, why do I not look like my Pinterest board? You know, because it's just like, for example, I think like one of the main reasons why too is because there's so many things that we want. Like, for example, I want clear skin and I want to look good without makeup. But at the same time too, I want to get new pieces for my wardrobe. And so like, which one do I focus on? You know, because like if I buy clothes, then I don't have money for my skincare. But if I buy my skincare, then I don't have like the fashion that I want. And so it's like kind of like, see, it's a delay right there. And so I think like that's a huge piece for me, because I have to like sacrifice on what I want to get. Mm. And so I think like I have been focusing a bit more on my skincare. And so like this morning when I woke up, I was like, wait, my skin looks good. Like, I'm actually pretty happy with like how I look without makeup and everything. But then I looked in the closet. I'm like, the f- am I gonna wear today? And so that's why I just threw on a sweater and sweats. But like, I mean, it's still cute. But like at the same time too, I would like to elevate my wardrobe. But it's just kind of like those delays that I have to sacrifice, or those things that I have to sacrifice that delays my rebrand.
I didn't think of it in this way. I was thinking about like my own business and me. Like I didn't think about it.
Oh, know? Wait, yes, yeah, that's so you. I was kind of like,
oh, okay. So, I mean, for me, I feel like I'm not a girl that's really hard on like, I have Pinterest board I have to follow. I need to be this aesthetic and that aesthetic. I just go with however I feel that day. So that's whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. But I also think it comes with age, you know. I feel like as you age, you want to dress different. You want to look different. So everything keeps always changing. You're always like, why does it always keep changing? I want to look this way. I want to look that way, you know. So it's always like, our rebrand era changes every single year because we have different goals every year, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So I feel like when it comes to aesthetics and things like that, that's more personalized towards my physical self, then yes, it's always going to change every single year. We're different every year. Hormones change every year. So it's whatever. You know, I'm not too hard and tough with myself on that stuff. So it's like, whatever. I don't really care. But when it comes to like, I'm trying to get myself up there, out there. Why does it keep getting freaking delayed? It's because I'm going to blame it on the academy.
No, period. It's the government.
Oh my God. It's just like everything is just so pricey and everything now is so oversaturated with everything on social media. You know, it's so hard to try to get yourself out there with things that you're actually genuine about or things that you actually want to do, you know? Mm-hmm. And for me, I feel like my vision changes all the time, you know? Like, for example, with my Pretty Babes Avenue, right? I want to rebrand it again. Like, what the heck? I only rebranded, like, the logo once. But then now so many things keep coming up that I keep wanting to change everything. I want to do this. I want to do that. So because I keep wanting to do all of this, I keep rebranding. So I'm like, how many times am I going to rebrand myself, you know? But, of course, I'm going to keep rebranding it until I'm happy with it. You know, as long as I'm happy with it, then it's whatever. I'm not going to leave it as it is if I'm not happy with it, you know? So it keeps getting delayed because I just can't make up my mind and I got no money and where the funds going to come from because somebody invests in me. Hello. You know, he says.
No, honestly.
No, we're speaking as truthful as I can be, you know, like it's tough out here. Okay. Mm-hmm. So my Pretty Babes Avenue rebrand era will come when life is prettier.
Yes. No, honestly, I resonate with that so bad. It really is the damn government. It is the economy because, again, everything is so expensive. When we want to do something, it's like, wait, but we have to have the funds first. Mm-hmm. And even if, you know, you're a first time like business owner, it's like, how do I even get there? You know, like, where are the resources? Like, the resources are here.
But the resources cost money.
Yeah.
You know, everything, every little thing costs money. Mm-hmm. Like if I had to make a contract, oh, I need to have a lawyer look through that to make sure it's legit, you know, so that nothing happens. Or if I want to do this for my business, oh, I got to rent this. Oh, I got to buy this. And freaking a makeup product is like $50 that I'm going to slap on my face for the day and it's going to be gone later. It's like, God, everything's so expensive.
Yeah. And, you know, running your website, getting your business to actually become a real business.
And then, oh, I got to pay for storage because I don't got storage anymore. What the hell? All these charges from Apple, $2.99, $3.99, $10.99. Right. What the fuck are all these charges?
Yeah.
That's why y'all gone through a lawsuit.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's so true. I just think that like rebranding yourself is always a constant battle and it's something that we always are going to have until, you know, we're not here anymore because we are creatures of ideas. Like we're always thinking about the new thing, the next thing. I think like, honestly, for me, I have calmed down on my ideas a bit.
Yeah, Alexis would call me, be like, I have a new idea every week.
I know. And I used to make documents on new ideas. And I just would not stop. But I think that I had to step back and then just think, what are my strengths and what do I want to do? And I think that friend presentation.
I know, I was about to say, right after that, it was like that really like, oh, that grounded you on what you wanted to do.
Yes. And I think I've been focusing on that. But I think it's kind of hard with like what I want to do because honestly, I do want to get into my acting career more. But I think that is really hard given that, you know, it is here in the Twin Cities. Whereas I think if you were more in New York or in LA, then you get more presence there or where film is more popular. But I think like here in the Twin Cities, you just have to like really pave your way in. And so that's why I've been going to more plays. I've seen the play by Theater Moo. It was, what was Among Futures. And then I went to the Korean play called Myeopan. And oh my God, y'all, that play on like the Korean or Karen community and culture, it was similar to Hmong people. And their clothing and everything too is very similar. And their storylines are pretty similar too, to our culture. So like I found that really cool. But yeah, like I just, like at a point in time, I was kind of confused with what I really wanted to do because I was like, oh, let me gravitate towards this. And I would ask Emmy.
No,
and
yeah. When Lex came to me with her ideas, they were different every time.
Yeah.
It was like a different category every single time. Like, I was like, Lex, is this really what you want to do? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So acting is something she's always wanted to do since high school, from when I've known her, you know?
Yeah.
So I definitely see her doing that. And I would definitely say you should start doing videos on TikTok where, you know, there's those videos where like people do the voiceovers where you're acting with the voiceover.
Yeah.
I think you should definitely do that.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I just really think I have to find the time to do that. It's no excuse for me. Like if I could make my other TikTok videos, I could definitely make those kind of TikTok videos too. But I was also really thinking like, do I want to make a separate TikTok for that? Because the TikTok that I have, it's more like lifestyle and just like, you know, funny videos I make or whatnot. But then like, do I want an acting TikTok for just me? But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I did take the first step to get my headshots done by Miss Emmy. So got that done. But now it's just kind of like doing research and just putting myself out there. I think like those are steps to actually solidifying the brand that you want to go for. Mm-hmm. But obviously I have other things that I want to do too. And I'm just like, who really am I?
And that's like the hardest thing I feel like living right now. Who am I? Like, yeah, it's so hard to know who you really truly are. Like, I have no idea who I am. Like, I swear to God, you know, it's so hard because for me, I'm continuously surrounded by my family. I don't blame my family at all, you know, but when you're continuously surrounded by them and sometimes I feel like you restrict yourself from doing certain things because of them or you don't have time to yourself. It's really hard to find who you are and what you truly want to do. And just in general, too, when you do things, like, is this actually what I want to do? I'm always doubting myself. I'm always questioning myself. Like, is this actually truly my dream? Or what is it I want to do? You know, we never know. And how do you know? How do we know unless you try, right? And once you try and it's not right for you, then it's not right for you. It's okay. You don't beat yourself up over it because life is like that. It's trial and error. And yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like also we're really stuck onto the idea of just having like that financially stable job and then just being like a normal working citizen and
a 9-to-5 life.
Yeah. And it's just like if you don't have that, then you don't have anything. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think we're like really accustomed to that kind of norm. And it's something that we, to be honest, it is the damn government. Like if the government did not institute us working 9-to-5 Monday to Friday, I feel like people will be so much happier. But this system was created. So
I was literally talking yesterday with a person I just met about how we should move it to working only 4 days a week.
Yeah.
And I was like, why not work 2 days a week and do a 5-day weekend? Switch it around.
Period. That helps, you know? Yes.
Yeah. But
honestly, I just feel like we need to, like, if you really wanted to do the work that you want to do, you do not need 40 hours to work a week. Like, you will get that job done. And so if that's like a job that you really actually wanted to do, you know, and so everybody could just be on salary. But obviously, you know, that's in a perfect world. Yeah. But
so how many times do you find yourself at work already done your tasks and you're just sitting there?
I know.
I do weirdly be here 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, you know? No, you don't.
Last Thursday.
It should be like, once I'm done my work, I go home. It should be like that.
Or like, if I have no work this day, I'm not even going to come in. Yeah, because Thursday, I was just watching movies the entire day. Like, and if my boss is watching this, hi, but why are you here? But I'm sorry. You already know, like, you're a cool boss. You just be letting us do, like, whatever we want. But then again, it's just like, I was just watching movies the entire Thursday, and I was like, I'm already done with my work. I have no meetings. But I get it. Like, sometimes we just have to be there to be there, you know? Like, oh, your presence is actually here. But at the same time, too, it's like,
I could have gotten a lot done, you know?
Right, I could have gone on my hot girl walk.
Like, the thing is, like, no dentist place open on weekends, but we work all freaking day. We can't go to a dentist unless we take time off or call PTO. Like, that's one thing I just don't understand. They make us work until business hours, and our businesses are closed for our health, you know? Mm-hmm. And that makes it harder for us as citizens to be healthy, but they want citizens to be healthy, but we can't be healthy because you don't allow us to be healthy because we're working so much.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just like,
see, this is why they want us to use our PTO for that. They constructed everything that way. So they're like, you can never go on vacation. You want to go dentist appointment, PTO.
Yeah, that's why I think it's hard to do things you want to do or find yourself, because everyone's dedicating our time to working for the damn government. How can we work for ourselves?
Right.
Do things for ourselves. It's hard. It's hard out here.
It really is. Yeah.
And, like, I think back to, like, Alexis, like, acting career or just jobs in general, I think now it's, like, networking.
Oh, my God, yes.
Like, literally, this person I knew got a job because of networking. They knew a person there, you know? And it's, like, I applied to, like, 100 jobs. I didn't get it because, well, I didn't know somebody there. Yeah, because, like, you know, I'm applying to, like, 100 jobs and I just get rejected. And then it's, like, why did I get rejected, you know? And they don't tell you why. It's just really, like, oh, like, we decided to go with somebody else, but why did you go with somebody else? Is it somebody you knew?
Exactly that part.
You know? Yeah, life be hard. And because life be hard, we can't live the life we want.
Yeah, I will say that my job, my previous job, I did get it because of networking. So, like, networking is really strong. Mm-hmm. But also at the same time, too, it really defeats the application process. Mm-hmm. Because it's like there's a lot of people that works for it. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, like, if you already knew that you weren't gonna hire someone that applied, why put it out there? And that's exactly why I'm thinking jobs just do that to look good.
And I see jobs just be ghosting. Mm-hmm. They don't say anything. They never reply.
Right.
And I see people comment on LinkedIn like, yeah, they have like 10, 12 years of experience, but then they don't get hired because of what? There's no mm-hmm. reason. You know?
Right.
That's why I think the economy is going down. And yeah.
It really is. And like at the same time too, these houses are so expensive. Mm-hmm. Like a duplex or, you know, a townhome is like 500 plus.
Not even a house. Renting apartments in general.
Yeah.
You gotta make three times the freaking rent of this freaking apartment. Yeah. Or what the right. You can't live anywhere or do anything, you know?
I know.
I'm not gonna live under a damn bridge and make my own community. Like, God.
Exactly. Honestly, that's, we're actually really close to doing that. Because these apartments, why the hell are they like $3,000 for a two-bedroom?
And with the pay?
Right?
We can afford that.
Yeah. You know?
It's crazy.
Oh my gosh. This is making my head hurt. Because this is why, like, I'm always thinking, should I move? But if I do move, I'm not going to find a good price where I'm at right now, too. Mm-hmm. Because it's always increasing. But then, like, I want a bigger place and I want a nicer neighborhood, but is it really worth all of that too? Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to stay put and just wait where, you know, this economy goes, because we just never know. Like, the struggles are huge here in life. And mm-hmm. I think all of these things contribute to our brand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause it's like, who am I? Like, what am I supposed to do? Mm-hmm.
It's so hard.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, you do know who you are, though. You do know who you are, and you are going to get to your goals as long as you believe internally to external.
I believe I can fly.
Okay, sorry.
That will never happen. We cannot fly, y'all. But metaphorically speaking, yes, you can fly and soar and reach your goals.
Yes, you can go as high as you want.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it, what I got to say about personal brand.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, our personal brand just keeps getting delayed because of, you know, obviously, like, at the end of the day, it is yourself, you know? You are the one that is affecting. Hold yourself
accountable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So before you blame it on, like, external factors, look at yourself first. Look at how you can fix it yourself. And then, you know, if there is a barrier to get there that is not you, then, you know, obviously you can find another loophole or a way around it. And so I think, like, you know, even if you do have financial struggles or issues, like, at the end of the day, if you know you can do it, then you can do it. You'll get there. And then once when you don't have financial struggles anymore, you look back and you're just like, wow, we did this. Like,
can't wait till that day comes.
For real. From like negative 100,000 to like 100,000, you know, but that still makes it zero. But hey, at least you have zero debt now, right? Like,
can't wait till that day comes. Like, literally.
Yes, I know.
Student debt.
For real.
That would be the death of me.
College, y'all.
That is the bane of my existence.
Yeah.
The government.
Yes.
And student debt. But yeah, that's all I have really for this episode. What keeps delaying your
personal rebrand?
Yeah, sorry y'all, my mind just went blank. What keeps delaying your personal brand?
Put it in the comments. Let us know.
Yes,
because we need to know. Like, I think there's definitely a epidemic going on with like, you know, people not knowing what to do, and like they're finding themselves constantly. Yeah.
Well, I do. Okay, now before we end the conversation, though, I do think that because everyone's so easily influenced by freaking social media now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's social media. Sometimes we can't reach that, okay? It's just not our life. That's just not us. Stop trying to make yourself like the others out there.
Oh, my gosh. You know? Yes.
Be true to yourself.
Yeah. Okay, we can't end the conversation yet because, social media. Yeah. That is so freaking true. And I would be lying if I wasn't getting influenced, too. But there are a lot of people that get heavily influenced by it, where if they don't have it, they will like go crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't match their life. Like, if someone has like the cleanest shower ever, someone wants to have that clean shower too. Like, that it's just crazy to me how people are just willing to go like lengths in order to match someone's aesthetic.
Go into
online.
Debt.
Yeah.
To try to be like that.
And overconsumption. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Like, you telling me you got freaking like 20 toners? The hell? That's weird. And by toners, I mean like facial product. Not printer toner.
I was thinking, which toner?
Yeah.
In my head, like.
Yeah, skincare toner. I see a lot of creators, influencers, they show how many toners they have. And I'm like, whoa. I mean, I get it. Some of them are from PR, but maybe people, they bought that, you know, and they just like have it there. And so I think like that, like overconsumption is definitely an influence to people, and that's why people just keep buying. Because I was once victim to that when I lived in Wisconsin. I just kept on buying shit. Like, it was bad. And that's why, like, for my New Year's resolution that I shared to Emmy and our other friend, I was like, yeah, y'all, I need to stop buying things because I just keep buying things and like I just never use it. And so I think like when you realize it and then you find a way to stop it, that is the part right there that you have learned. But yeah, I just think that social media is so fake, and I think people really need to realize.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis. You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial community-powered radio. Stay tuned for the Filipino-American National News.
Sunday morning and night.